In this set of lessons, we're going to look at one of the favorite topics of many Christian people, and that is heaven. Christian people love to think about heaven. We love to talk about heaven. We love to read Bible verses on this topic. We love to hear sermons about going to heaven. We love to sing about heaven. As a matter of fact, many of the songs in our hymn books are about heaven. No tears in heaven. Heaven will surely be worth it all. When the saved get to heaven, and many other hymns are about this long-standing favorite topic of Christian people. So we're going to spend some time looking at what the Bible says about heaven. And as we talk about heaven, of course, we're going to emphasize the fact that it's very important for us to follow the Bible so that we can go to this place that we read about and even dream of. Now, before we speak directly about heaven, in this particular lesson, we're going to raise a question. And that is, do saved people go directly to heaven when they die? Where does the soul of a saved person go at death? And we're going to begin in Luke chapter 16, the book of Luke, chapter 16. Now, remember what our game plan is for looking at this subject of the end of time and heaven and hell. The first thing that we did was to survey the Bible and look at some major passages dealing with the end of time. And so we looked at the Old Testament, and we looked especially at the New Testament. We didn't cover every verse on this subject, but we looked at some of the main ones on it. And so we've already dealt with many of these passages dealing with heaven. But now we want to concentrate and we want to focus on what the Bible says about this subject. Now, when we look at the first passage in regard to the question that we raised, we're looking at Luke chapter 16 because this deals directly with the question, what happens when a person dies? So let's begin in Luke chapter 16. And let's pull from what we've already built as far as laying the foundation is concerned. And now what we want to do is to notice more particularly what the Bible says about this subject. So in Luke chapter 16, beginning in verse 22, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented." Now what we find immediately in this passage is that when these two died, the beggar, Lazarus, and this rich man, when they died, they were both aware immediately of where they were. You see, there's no soul sleeping in this passage. There is no lying unconscious till the judgment. Both of these knew immediately, the very second, the very moment that they left this world, they were aware of their surroundings. There's no way that they could have avoided that. And so one of them went to a place of comfort, and another one went to a place of torment. And the Bible shows us in verse 26 that there was no leaving either place to go to the other side. And so in verse 26, the Bible says, "And beside all this, between us and you," now this is Abraham talking to the rich man, Abraham is in a place of peace and rest and comfort. The rich man is in misery and torment. And Abraham said, "Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." So there is no leaving the place where they were to go to the other side. So the beggar that died, named Lazarus, was in a place of rest. He was in a place of comfort. Now, what was that place of comfort? Well, we want to read further in the book of Luke, and right now we want to go to Luke chapter 23, and we're going to look at verse 43. Luke chapter 23, we're going to look at verse 43. Here the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." Now he's talking to the thief on the cross. Of course, there were two thieves. One of them was impenitent. He was stubborn and rebellious. He never repented. But this other thief repented. And the Bible tells us that Jesus told him in verse 43, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now he was with him there on that hill of Golgotha, being crucified. But he said, "You're going to be with me, not on these crosses, but you're going to be with me in paradise." Now, there are two things to notice. First of all, he says, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now, Jesus and this thief both died that day. And that very day, when they died, they went to a place called paradise. So they didn't wait for years. They didn't wait for a long period of time and then go to this place. They went there immediately when they died. Secondly, notice that Jesus says that the place that he was going to and the place where this thief was going to is called paradise. Now, when Jesus calls a place paradise, you can be assured that this is a wonderful place. Sometimes we say that about a place on earth. We call it paradise. We say that this is just such a great place that it's like a paradise on earth. But the greatest vacation spot on earth is nothing compared to the paradise that Jesus is talking about here. This place is a place of bliss. It is a place of comfort. It is a place of rest. Peace at last. That is what this paradise is in Luke chapter 23, verse 43. Now then, let's ask again exactly what is this place, though. And we're going to turn next to John chapter 20, the book of John chapter 20, and we're going to read what Jesus said to Mary in John chapter 20, verse 17. Now this is after Jesus has died and was buried, and it's after his resurrection. And in John 20, verse 17, notice what Jesus said to Mary. He said, "Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Now notice especially the words that Jesus spoke. He said, "I am not yet ascended to my Father." Now this may indicate that when Jesus died, he did not go to the Heavenly Father in the sense of going to heaven where the throne of God is, but we know that he went to paradise because he said that he went to paradise. He told the thief on the cross that he was going to paradise with him. But yet here in John 20, verse 17, he says, "I am not yet ascended to my Father." Now, where was his Father? His Father was in heaven. But Jesus said, "I haven't ascended there yet." So where did Jesus go during those days when he was in the tomb? Well, the Bible says in Acts 2, verse 31, that his soul went to a place called Hades. And we'll talk about that more in just a few minutes. But for right now, what we want to notice is that there's evidently a difference between this paradise that Jesus talked about in Luke 23, 43, and that Jesus also mentioned in Luke chapter 16 when he was talking about where Lazarus the beggar went when he was in comfort. So this apparently means that when a saved person dies, he goes to this place of rest. He goes to this place of comfort. He goes to this place of bliss and peace that Jesus refers to as paradise. And he stays there until the judgment. Then he will go to heaven. Now you say, well, what's the difference between this paradise then and heaven? Well, heaven is where God is. Heaven is where all the angels are. Heaven, evidently, will be even greater. Heaven will be even better, if we can even begin to imagine that, than this waiting place that we're talking about. Now, one of the questions that people raise is this. Well, if we go to this place, this waiting place, then what's the purpose of the judgment? Why have a judgment if people know immediately when they die whether they're in a place of comfort or in a place of torment? What would the purpose or what would the reason be for having a judgment if people already know when they die whether they're lost or saved? Well, the judgment is not a time for God to decide or figure out whether people are saved or lost. The judgment is a time when God is going to pronounce judgment upon people. It's called the Day of Judgment in the Bible, not because God is going to have to come up with some kind of decision about what to do with all those souls, whether they're going to heaven or hell. It's a day when God is going to pronounce that judgment, when He is going to give the reward to the saved and the punishment to the righteous. And that final day, called the Day of Judgment, will be a time when all the souls in all the history of the world will be gathered together. And God wants all those people assembled together in that last great day, standing before Him, so that the whole world will hear the verdict that God is going to pronounce, and so that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Romans 14, verse 11. So what we've talked about in this lesson is what oftentimes is called the waiting place or the intermediate state. Now, in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the word that is used is the word Sheol, oftentimes pronounced Sheol. It is the place of the dead. Now, the King James Version renders this with the word hell. And that can be a little bit misleading or a little bit hard to understand if you don't know the background of the word. In the Old Testament, when you find the word hell, that is not specifically in the King James Version a word for the place where people go to be punished. It includes the place of punishment, but it is the general word for the place of the dead. That's what it means. The word Sheol means the place of the dead. And so some of those dead go to a place of comfort. Some of them go to a place of punishment. But it's a generic word for that. It is the word Sheol. That's a Hebrew word. Now, in the New Testament, you have a Greek word that corresponds to that. It is the word Hades, which is usually pronounced Hades. Now, in the King James Version again, you will not find that word Hades. It is usually spelled H-A-D-E-S. Now, the New King James Version translates it and simply puts it as Hades. But in the King James Version, you'll find again that the general word hell is used for that. Now, that's why the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 31, that Jesus' soul was not left in hell. Sometimes when people read that in the King James Version, they're puzzled as to why the Bible would talk about Jesus and His soul being in hell. Well, the word hell there comes from this word for Hades, which means this intermediate place that we're talking about, the comfort side of that place of the dead. And so, in the King James Version, you have to notice the context, you have to watch how the word is used, and from the context, you can see what the idea is. And we'll talk more about that word hell in the next set of lessons. But the bottom line to this lesson is that we've asked the question, do saved people go directly to heaven when they die? Where does the soul of a saved person go? Well, that soul goes to a place called paradise in the Bible. And even though heaven will be even greater, the bottom line is that in this place called paradise, saved people will be there. Saved people like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The people who will be there will be in comfort. It will be a place of perfect rest and perfect peace. It will be paradise.